Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Midweek Pick Me Up Energy Show, featuring professional officiant, tuning fork facilitator, and author, Marcy Ann Cheek. In 1988, Marcy Ann discovered the quantum fields of energy and vibration. And since then, her life has been a day-to-day experiment in knowing how to live in light energy for happiness, health, and wealth. She shares the principles and laws of light energy as they operate in everyday life. And now, here is Marcy Ann.
And good morning, everyone. Well, it is the middle of the week for me, and this is my midweek pick-me-up energy show. But if you are listening in the archives, it could be the first of the week, it could be the weekend, or it could be morning, or it could be evening, because in archive land, there just is no time. Well, I had advertised my show today as being a discussion of the divine masculine and feminine, because I've been trying to do a show about the divine masculine and the divine feminine now for about 6 months. But apparently, it just isn't time to do it yet. So I think this important subject needs to be tackled later on, you know, after the summer vacation time, after these warm and lazy days of summer fade away and we get back to a more regular schedule. And also, since it is such a huge subject, it's going to take, like, more than just one show to talk about it, so I think I'm going to dedicate a whole month to this discussion later on and have parts 1, 2, 3, and 4 like I did with my series on prayer that works every time, which has been so popular. So watch for that series in the future. I'm going to be doing it on my Sunday night show at 7 o'clock. 7 p.m., that's Pacific Daylight Time on Sunday nights. Just watch for it. Well, as I was thinking about doing this show today then, it feels to me like the universe is just trying to take a pause, you know, kind of like that thing that's going on over there in Israel at the Gaza Strip right now, you know, where there's war and then ceasefire and then war. And then ceasefire for 20 minutes, and then war, and then ceasefire. It's just like God is trying to get us all to agree to a ceasefire, but our lives just keep erupting in warfare. So we try to agree to a ceasefire. I mean, I think down deep inside, everybody desires to live in peace. And so we agree to a ceasefire, and then somebody pushes our buttons. So then we try to get everything all settled down again, and then another leak springs out in the dike. and we've already got all of our fingers in the dike at this point, so the leak just springs out, and there's no ceasefire. I sometimes think the end of the summer begins to give a signal to our biological clocks. You know, hurry up, hurry up. Summer's almost over. You better take that vacation now before the kids go back to school, or it's going to be another year before you can do it. And biologically, our systems just still want to have more time to be outside and enjoy the warm summer days and nights. You know, before we have to go back to wearing a coat and boots and hats and gloves. Because even here in California, you know, we're a desert here, so our days are almost always usually warm. But as the wintertime begins to approach, at night it gets cold. So with September right around the corner, we know that these lazy days of summer are just about over, and the days are starting to get shorter. But if the universe could get us to pause right now and to agree to a ceasefire, what would that be like? So I'm going to read Charlie Chaplin's Recipe for Happiness today to help us all agree to have a ceasefire in our life. And Carolyn is with us again today to join in on the conversation. And I'm going to bring her on right now.
Hi,
good morning,
Lucky.
Carolyn.
Good morning.
Hi.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. And I think we're going to wait until later on in the year to do the Divine Feminine and Divine Masculine show.
Okay.
You know, that's such a big, big topic.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah. So today I just thought we would talk about having a ceasefire in our life. And I wanted to get caught up with you on where you are. And if those of you who've listened to this show before, you know that Carolyn is on a journey into her own personal sovereign self, and she is learning to live in her temple as her own authentic, sovereign, the real Carolyn. Is that how you would put it?
Yeah, I'm learning every day. You know,
the
you learn
real
more.
You. The real you.
The real
so
you.
So give us an update. Yeah. Where are you now?
You know, I just feel good every day. I feel better and better. I just feel like I'm progressing. Even though I don't feel it, I just sense it. And mm-hmm. I just, as I say the mantra, I have more oomph to it. It's like I'm... I don't know. It's like I know it. I believe it. It's clear to me. It just feels good. It's the flow of things. It's
you know, I think there are layers to it. And one way that Jesus described it was the way, the truth, and the life. So
right.
when you started your mantra and your journey into this to being the real you, you learned the way. So the way for you at the beginning was this spiritual technique of living in your temple and doing your mantra every day.
Right.
And so
and
then as you say it, it is beginning to be absolute truth for you. That's what I think the oomph is.
Well, that's true. And you know what? It becomes more powerful. It just mm-hmm. feels that I am, you know, like this is natural. This is like my natural state. You know, the more I say it, it's like I say it with conviction each time. And I can feel a little power with it as I'm saying it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's more meaningful.
Yeah.
And I'm getting closer to who I really am. Yeah.
The truth of it is becoming more, you're becoming more and more aware the truth of it. So that down at the cellular level even, you feel the truth of it, right?
That's true. I can't express it that way, but that's what it is. That's what you feel. Mm-hmm.
And then what will happen is that becomes your life. That's how we get to the life stage.
Right.
And then it becomes that normal, everyday life.
Right. And that's what we have to start. And that's what we have. So that is nowhere else to start but with us, where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's developing more our essence, and we'll just be there. You know, in the blink of an eye, it's just like me. I'll be knowing it's me. I'll just know that.
Well, I thought as I read through this recipe for happiness that Charlie Chaplin wrote back in April of 1959, April 1959, he was beginning, and what his journey was beginning to love himself, was the way he put it, beginning to love himself. And, oh, by the way, I want to tell everybody, I had said I was going to put Carolyn's mantra on the website, and I am. It's just that I've had a bunch of company, and I was on vacation, and as I was discussing all this with my webmaster, we're developing a whole new web page for marcianne.com, and it's going to be a data management system, in WordPress, and I'm going to have everything on that, but it's not going to be for a little while yet. Probably another week or two before we get it all worked out. So I thought I would start here with he has 10 things that as he began to love himself, how his life began to change. And so in your case, living in your temple is actually, wouldn't you say, learning to love yourself?
Yes.
Part of it.
And yeah, well, because you have to love yourself. Anyway, yes, you have to start with loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to love others. Sometimes some people are kind of hard to love. And if you love yourself, then you already know what that feels like, and you just extend yourself outward.
Yeah.
And
you'll
be
able
to do all kinds of
stuff. Treat ourselves the way we would like for begin to love ourselves the way we would like for someone else to love us. So instead of looking outside of ourselves for somebody to love us, you know, a someone to love us, we begin to love ourselves and do for ourselves those things that who knows better than us what we like and what we want and what we desire and how it would make us happy. We know the how and everything. So if we start loving doing it for ourselves, then that's going to bring an inner fulfillment that nobody else from outside of ourselves can give to us, I think.
Right.
Yeah, that's been my experience. I sort of just gave up on trying to find somebody else, you know, to love me the way I wanted to be loved. And so I thought, heck, I'm just going to do for myself what I like and what I enjoy. And so there's this big dichotomy between loving yourself and being selfish, because at the beginning, I was accused of being selfish. You know, well, you're just thinking about yourself. Well, that's right.
You're supposed to think about yourself.
Because nobody else was thinking about me, right?
No, and you go out looking for love in the wrong places and selling it for less, and you have to love yourself. And then I think once you love yourself, then it's easier to love unconditionally.
Exactly, because you're not looking for something out of that other person. You're not coming to them with a hidden agenda, so to speak. You know,
and you
try
know what
to get
you love is at that point, because you love yourself unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you can, it's easier to love other people and show them what true love is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so his first one, he says, as I began to love myself, I stopped craving for a different type of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see that everything that was around me was inviting me to participate and to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he said first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a different outlook, looking at everything around you as there for a reason, there as a way to help you grow and develop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think that's true.
Do you think that, so have you stopped craving for a different life since you've started?
I have.
Your...
You know what? I'm going inward. I've tried everything else. I've done the other stuff. I looked for love somewhere else. Or, you know, you want somebody to love you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't even know what love is ourselves because we're not concentrating on ourselves doing it first.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do it first. And I just recently learned that. So I said, okay, because you have more peace, and you don't have to pretend, or you don't have to beg somebody to love you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do a lot of the other stuff that we do trying to feel loved. We do it ourselves. Then we do it with love. We're kind to ourselves. And I think it's easy. Other people can see the love. And so when you speak with love. And so my thing is I want to do everything with love. When I talk, I talk with love. I think in my mind, okay, I'm going to do this with love, in a loving way. And so I was told, everything you do with love. And this is from other people. They saw that. And that was my intention. So I just practice. I just keep, you know, trying to think love instead of.
Yeah, because if we love ourselves, then we come out into life in our relationships with anybody then yeah. as not as a needy person, but as a person who is already loving themselves. So we're not looking to these other people, you know, to fulfill us or to make us happy. Yeah.
Because regardless if you reject it or not, you still love yourself. You have balance. Mm-hmm. You have peace. And you can still be kind. You can be patient. It just leads to a lot of other things. And it's just better. It's like we have to take care of ourselves. If we want to be treated with respect, we have to respect ourselves.
Exactly.
Respect our bodies. Respect us. Treat us like we're treating somebody else. They said if you love yourself, you know, it's like when you get married, a husband's supposed to love his wife like he loves himself. So if he's not going to harm himself, then don't harm his wife.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. You know, the church has never preached that part of it, the love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they preach that love your neighbor part, but they don't preach the rest of it, because if you aren't loving yourself, you can't love your neighbor.
Oh, you don't know how. You don't know how. Because you're treating yourself bad and punishing yourself and talking down to yourself and saying negative thoughts. And, you know, and it just creates something else. It's not what you want. And, yeah, so if we just all first love ourselves, that's hard to do. You just, you know, anything is possible. After 21 days, you can make a habit or break a habit. So if you just did it for 21 days, 22nd day, you might say, I love myself. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to eat the right foods. I'm going to do this. You just may do that. And then you don't have to worry about yourself. You can focus on everything else around you, I think, and show your love. Because you don't even have to say a word. If you just took somebody's hand and patted it or you gave them a hug, you're showing love, you know, in some form. And people feel it from you.
They do.
And then they're happier. And, you know, you could affect the world, really. One person.
The whole world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
your
what
family.
A wonderful, if everybody just caught that, what she said, 21 days. So we're just 21 days away from being totally fulfilled and happy.
Mm-hmm. It'd be happier.
Yeah, that's
and
hardly
you
any
show
time
other people
at
how
all.
To do it.
Yeah,
yeah,
21 days. Start today and in 21 days.
Mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
Some people want to be selfish. They find something really good or something very important, and they want to keep it to themselves. But I always share. I figure if I have something, I know something, I found something would help somebody else, I tell people. I tell them. And that's part of being loving and not being selfish, you know, because I'm grateful when someone tells me about something really good and exciting. Mm-hmm. And it has been selfish. Excuse me. It's been selfish by keeping it to yourself. And it's just like you have all this love inside of you. Wouldn't it be a little selfish to keep it to yourself?
Now
that's
the
I'm
real
thinking.
Selfishness. Yeah,
yes.
So he says, as I began to love myself, I understood that at any circumstance, I am in the right place at the right time, and everything happens at exactly the right moment. And then he says, so this gave me calmness. And he called that self-confidence. In other words, you know, not fighting against our circumstances. Let's take a ceasefire. Our circumstances are, we are in the right place at the right time, and everything is happening at exactly the right moment. That would give a lot of self-confidence. Then you're not afraid. It's like, okay, this is supposed to be happening. I am in this moment. This moment is perfect. And then we can look at it with a different attitude, a totally different attitude about it. And then he says, and as I began to love myself, I found that anguish and emotional suffering were just warning signs to me that I was not living in my own personal truth, that I was living against my own truth. So the truth of ourself is that we are perfect in our natural state, that we are in the perfect circumstance at the right place at the right time and exactly the right moment. And then how could there be anguish and emotional suffering in a perfect moment? Uh-huh. And we always have that right of choice to, you know, if there is anguish or emotional suffering in that moment, then we can choose to get out, to not stay there.
That's true. But, you know, those are great affirmations that we just make. At an affirmation, we're at the right place at the right time, and everything happens.
Because as you begin to make that affirmation, that's what you're creating. And then you'll realize, you know, this isn't good for me, so I'm going to make a change here.
And our thoughts are powerful. And our body... a body listens to a mind.
Yes.
The mind controls the body. And so whatever we want to desire, we just have to be positive about it and state it. And it's more effective if you say it out loud.
Yes, that's what's so powerful about saying it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he says, as I began to love myself, I freed myself of anything that was not good for me and my health. Food, people, things, and situations. Anything that drew me down.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes. So that's what he, you know, what he began to experience then as he began to love himself. And he said, as I began to love myself, I refused to go on living out of the past or worrying about the future. Now I live in the moment where everything is happening now. And then he said, and I no longer needed to fear arguments, confrontations, or any kind of problems with myself or with others. He said that even stars collide, and out of their crashing together, new worlds are born. So we can see every interaction as an opportunity for something new to come forth, some new way of living, some new way to think about something, to look at something, and not go into anguish and emotional suffering. See, that's our choice.
Mm-hmm.
To either, you know, be a victim and suffer, or see it as an opportunity to have something different, to grow and learn. And so, and then he says, as I began to love myself, I quit stealing my own time. I stopped designing huge projects for the future. Today I only do what brings me joy and happiness, things I love to do and that make my heart cheer. And I do them in my own way and in my own rhythm. And he said, I quit trying to always be right. And as I loved myself, I found out I was wrong less of the time. And as I began to love myself, I recognized that my mind can disturb me and make me sick. But as I connected to my heart, he said, my mind became a valuable ally. So that's what you just said. Our mind then can become an ally and not work against us if we are connected to our heart. And he said he calls this living from the wisdom of the heart. And then he said, and as I began to love myself, I understood how much it could offend somebody if I tried to force my desires onto that person. And he said, I learned that this is called respect. So, you know, we can only, the one person we have control over is ourselves.
That's true.
And we can, and then we can go, we can fulfill our own desires and our own needs ourselves. And then that way we're not being like a vampire out there, you know, trying to get, forcing ourselves and our needs onto everybody else, because we're beginning to take care of them ourselves.
Right.
So that was his as I began to love myself.
Well, he learned. You always learn. If you focus on yourself and reevaluate your life and things that you do and how you say things to other people, then you automatically make changes if you want to grow. If you want to grow and improve your life, you would evaluate yourself. You wouldn't concentrate on other people and other households and
That's right.
Because you never know what.
Yeah. That's judgment. If we're always looking out there to other people and seeing what they're doing, having expectations of them to try to get our own needs met, we're setting up a very negative situation here where there's just going to be, you know, disappointment and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But if we put it on ourselves to make ourselves happy, then the only person we have to blame if we're not happy, is ourselves.
Right, and you just have to really concentrate on yourself and try to figure out what makes you happy. Now, sometimes you don't always know. I know I used to think, what makes me happy? And so you just have to just be aware and pay attention, because if you get joy or playing with children make you laugh, then that's something positive. Mm-hmm. So I would write that down. I can't always remember everything now. But I was trying to figure out what gives me joy. I love music, and I love hear people sing, and I love playing with children and making them laugh and tickling them and telling clean jokes and eating ice cream. That makes me happy. So I'm making a list. And
That's a great idea.
Sometimes you just don't know. So sometimes you just have to experiment, you know, like, oh, maybe I should do this, or maybe I should try going here or trying this new thing. And you never know what it will lead to. You either say, well, I don't really like that, or, oh, I think I don't like that. So it's okay not to know, because, we're evolving, and there's nothing wrong with it, because everybody have their own timetable to do things. They at certain levels. We're all at different levels, and so it's unfair to say, well, you don't understand what I'm talking about, because they're not at that level yet. So you have to be patient and kind and explain it to people.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to learn to don't measure other people by how you doing things, because we're all at different levels. And
right.
I've told people that before, just talking to them, and they say, I never thought about that, because sometimes we don't think about it. It's not that we're mean and cruel and selfish all the time. We just don't think about it. And what's important to us like when you know, you might want to wear all white 2 days a week. That may not be important to somebody else. And that's like pushing your beliefs on somebody else. Everybody mm-hmm. have free will, and we should allow them to make their own choices. Even if they ask us, what should we do? They should still make their own decision because this is their growth and this is their learning. This is, you know, this is how they're going to learn.
Right.
And making
right.
decisions.
I think that's a wonderful idea. If a person just for this next week now, until the middle of next week, I suggest that people get a package of 3x5 cards and just begin to be aware when, you know, when you feel kind of like that rush and you feel that tingly inside of you, like I call it the champagne bubbles, of, you know, bubbling around inside of you, that kind of a feeling of bliss or genuine happiness, and write that down. What were you doing? Where were you? Who were you with? You know, what circumstance created that sensation of the bubbling of bliss inside of you? Write it down. And then over this next week, I'll bet people would have like 10 or 12 or, you know, hopefully lots of things written down on each one of those 3x5 cards, and then read those things back to yourself. And right. And then you're going to begin to get a pattern, don't you think? Have you begun
yes,
to get sort of like a pattern? It'll begin to
right.
take shape. It'll take form. And then it'll give you a clue as to
right.
this inner part of your original primordial creation. I mean, what it was that coalesced together there to come and make a human being, and what was the purpose for
right.
that
and
human being's
memory.
Life? You know, because what makes us joyful is connected to our purpose
right,
and
true.
What we should
and
be doing every day. And then if we're in something that's not creating that kind of joyful inner feeling, then there need to make a change. And I think those 3x5 cards would be like a roadmap. It'd be like a way to, you know, a chance to begin to see the way. So the way, the truth, and the life. I think
right.
present the way. And then as you move into the truth of it and you say those things, and I'll have your mantra up here now in about 2 weeks, Carolyn. Because
oh, okay.
you kind of,
things.
You know, hit on every single part of life there is. In
I
your
was
mantra.
Trying because I want to change my life, and I'm really serious about it. But what you just said was very interesting and valuable, but it also helps you develop memories, good memories. So
good
that
memories.
I always tell my ex-boyfriends that, look, here, I'm just trying to get a memory, okay? Just let me get one memory with you. And so, like, when I get 105 years old and I'm senile and I'm rocking in a chair and I'm trying to get a memory, I don't want all the bad memories. If I
right.
only have one good memory,
aww.
I want to relive that over and over and over as I'm just, you know. If I only could get one, you know, it'd be good if you have more than one. But I would explain this to them, and I said, look, I'm just trying to get a memory with you, okay? I'm just trying to get one good memory. Give me just one. You know, we don't have to fight. No, I just want to have a pleasant memory so that I could think back to it. And, you know, it didn't have to be with them, but I'm working on the memory. And they laugh because they know I'm serious. I've told every person I've been involved with. Look, I'm working on some good memories there. And if I can get
that's just
one.
Wonderful, Carolyn. That is great. We're coming up here on the end of the show here. And so just to recap, first of all, we could just begin this moment saying, all we're going to create from now on are these good memories. If they just, if every single person just took that as their goal, you know, beginning today, every encounter I have, every relationship I am in, you know, everything in my life, I want to create a good memory about this. And then knowing it only 21 days to get it all transformed.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, what a wonderful message.
Right. This is what I just wanted to add.
21 days to creating only good memories. I love it.
Yeah, but, you know, it also will help you find out what your destiny is and what your passions are as a result of just paying attention and seeing what gives you joy and what makes you feel good and other talents. And you can say, oh, wow, I'm good at this. Oh, I like this.
Right.
I know this. I do this. And you can figure out what your destiny is sometime or what your other hidden talents are.
Yes.
In the process.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So 30, get the 3x5 cards, start creating good memories, and know that in 21 days, everything will be totally transformed. That's our message today, Carolyn. What
That's
a great
beautiful.
Message. It encourages me.
Yes, it is beautiful.
I'm all hepped
and it's
ready
there.
To go.
Just keep on doing. Just imagine if it's the 58th day, how exciting that would be.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show again today. It's always a good show when you're on. And So until next week, this is Marcy Ann, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's our show for today. You can contact Marcy Ann on her website, www.marcyann.com. Up at the top of the main page, there is a link. Click here for Marcy Ann's radio show. And thank you for tuning in today to Marcy Ann's Middle of the Week Pick Me Up Energy Show, which broadcasts every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time from her studio in Southern California. You can also listen on Sundays at 7 p.m. to Marcy Ann's show, Say What, for reflections on life on planet Earth. And on Fridays at 5 p.m. is The Finding Mr. Right Show, a support show that helps single people find Ms. Right or Mr. Right, based on ideas and information in Marcy Ann's book at www.MrRightForMe.com. Thanks for listening.